Blog Talk Radio.
Superstars, how's everybody out there doing today? This is the Members Live Show right here on Barbecue Superstars Members Live on Sunday. If you are a member of Barbecue Superstars, this is your show. This is what we do every Sunday. So we give our members a chance to call in, talk about their industry, their business, their barbecue work, or whatever's going on that we can promote them as being members of Barbecue Superstars and increase their business. And folks, we met a real tough act last night in Artesia, New Mexico. Dr. Riley, we met him on Friday night, and great personality, good guy, easy to talk to, had a lot of fun with him. I got a huge interview with him that was a lot of fun, and then he came out on Friday. He was the headliner act And boy, did he put on a show. Now, folks, it looks like to me like he would be in Nashville or somewhere headlining. He could probably go to Las Vegas, you know, it'd be a regular weekly act. He could sing and play just about anything there is, period. But until Johnny calls back in, now, man, big time competition out there in Artesia, New Mexico, about 34 miles from Roswell, New Mexico. And by the way, it was a weird weekend because the UFO convention was right up the road in Roswell from Artesia. And I did not venture out to take a look or hang around with the UFO specialists. There's somebody who wrote a book and someone else. And I don't know what. We didn't hang around for that. But got up to about 104 degrees on Friday and about 107 on Saturday. Yes, it was dry heat, but when you get up to 107 degrees, I don't think it matters if it's dry, humidity, what it is, that there is some major heat. And I did have to film the finale, which was about an hour and a half, because they had about an hour that they took to do the awards, but then they had mounted target practice or mounted shooting. Yeah, that's live weapons, riding on a horse and shooting. And they had a competition for that, and they had the awards for that. We went ahead and stayed and shot that, too. You know, sort of part of what was going on right there. So, Lynn Anderson. Lynn Anderson is saying, I beg your pardon. I'll be loading that song. I never promised you a rose garden. Now, I can't sing like she does. I've already got the video loaded where she sang it for us a cappella with no music. Did a big 10-minute interview with her. Lynn Anderson wants to be on Dancing with the Stars. Barbecue Superstar is going to be promoting Lynn Anderson to get on Dancing with the Stars. And we would love to see her on there. She was the nicest person I ever met. I could see why her and her husband never got a divorce. Her husband was a big songwriter. He wrote all them songs for her. Including D-I-V-O-R-C-E. So funny, ironic that he wrote that song and never got a divorce. But anyway, man, let me just tell you a little bit about food out there. Now, I went to Henry's Barbecue on Thursday. No, let's see. Yeah, on Thursday. And we've got about a 20-minute video up. We went through the whole restaurant. Pretty much had a server line up front. They've got a big smoker in the back, just about like an old hickory pit, Southern Pride. And but that Southern Pride was really large, a whole lot of meat. They had ribs, whole potatoes. They smoked their potatoes. And chicken breasts, turkey breasts, which I thought was interesting. The chicken breasts had skin on it. Brisket, naturally. I mean, New Mexico, right by Texas. The brisket was fantastic. And then they had chopped brisket, whereby they put chilies in. Green chilies was by word in Artesia, New Mexico. Well, pretty much the whole state of New Mexico is a green chilies state. Now, they have some locations in New Mexico that grow huge land masses of green chilies. And I'm going to tell you, you can make them as hot as you want. You can make them as cool as you want. They got ways of working it where you can, you know, put a little more spice into it or put a little less spice into it. And them green chilies were the word to be heard. Now, I went out on a competitor site, which consisted of a Mexican family, and they sort of were trying to play a game on me. They got a steak, chopped it up, which I had no idea this had went on. You know, like they cooked it, it didn't get eaten, so they saved it. and they put the heaviest green chilies mixture on it they could and brought it out there. I got it in the video. It's already up. Smoking RBS video there. You'll see me with the thing. And I smelled it. You could smell the heat. It was rough. It was big time. It was, oh, hell. Well, look out. And so I went ahead, started eating it, took a few bites. And I could feel that there was blistering heat in it, but for some reason it didn't really jump on me. The green chilies did not, like, jump on me and burn me down. And they were actually in the camper looking out, watching my reaction. You know, imagine there's five Mexicans in the camper looking out the window, laughing, and then one of the son, who was 31, and one of the cousins or whatever, they're out there, and they're shoveling this burrito at me with these green chilies in it. And so I went ahead and ate it, and there was some heat to it. I mean, I'm not going to say that, you know, it didn't affect me at all, but I went ahead and ate the whole thing. I had a little twinge mouth for about 20 minutes, but my stomach, you know, I got to say that was the first time that my stomach ever burned from eating anything. So it's like I took all that green chili juice and all them green chilies chopped up in, and yeah, I got a little burn in my mouth, but my stomach got burnt more than my mouth did, which it wasn't unbearable. I could just tell it was there. And so I experienced New Mexico cuisine to the nth degree. Now, Saturday, you know, they did their turnip boxes. Now, folks, I got a video. I haven't put it up yet of this Mexican team trying to do a KCBS. Bless their heart. They did try. They were attempting to do a KCBS. Well, they made stuffed chicken breasts, and they put cream cheese and jalapenos inside the breast, rolled it up, and then they wrapped the breast in bacon. Oh, it was beautiful. It tasted good, too. But I didn't realize they were going to turn that in as a KCBS turn-in. And I was standing there with the camera, and all of a sudden they brought two of these big breasts out wrapped in bacon with the cream cheese and the jalapeno in the middle. And I was like, what are they doing? Well, what are they doing this for? And she got the electric knife out, and it looked like they were doing a rib prep. I mean, they cut these chicken pieces into these beautiful slices just all the way across it. It was just awesome. And I was like, they're going to put this in the box. So I stood there for a minute, and I thought, well, do I stop them or do I let them go? Do I interfere with this or do I just keep on going? Well, I decided to not interfere, so I went ahead and let them do it. And, of course, she took off 15 minutes before the start of turn-in, so she had to wait 15 minutes. And then probably 11:36, which would have been 1 minute after the finish of turn-ins, the KCBS rep came back out with the chicken box, and she threw it open in the presence of the full Mexican team, and she said, "Is there anything in this box right here that's not chicken?" And one of the team members replied, "Yes, cream cheese, jalapeno, and bacon." And the woman replied, which is no shocking matter to us, "Well, we had to disqualify you because the only thing you can have in the box is only chicken. Can't offer other things."
Get a big hell yeah from the redneck girls like me. Hell yeah!
Hell yeah! Unfortunately, the DQ was in effect, and they had such big plans of winning the contest. But then they went on, and in the red box, they put 15 pieces of ribs, but they didn't cut them down to St. Louis style. And, you know, I mentioned to the girl, just, you know, if they're that long, just go ahead and just put 8. Don't put 15. And she said, oh, no, that woman said the more the better. So I said, okay. At that point, I did not give her any more. But needless to say, they worked hard, they tried hard, but their overall score was 154 was the final. But I'll be putting that up, and bless their heart, they need some help in New Mexico. There's a lot of people out there who want to compete. Now, barbecue competition in New Mexico can get ginormous. It could bring in a lot of money for a lot of us. Well, we can have people going from Georgia and Florida and Alabama and Tennessee over into New Mexico, because I dare say that we get all these Mexican communities and all these people in New Mexico, they want to do it real bad. We could have a 50 contest state where these guys would do it every weekend, and then we could go in and join in and make some grand championship money. And, you know, I just want to say I got a caller, 803-944. Just hold on just for a second. Now, here's the big news about New Mexico, folks. Okay, imagine this. 1,000 new barbecue teams who just came on the market. That's right, folks. I say potentially at least 1,000 new teams in New Mexico, all these Mexicans and all the white people, the country boys, the oil refiners, the oil pump people, all these people are head over heels falling out. They can't believe that KCBS barbecue competitions exist. They're all driving F-250s that sit about 10 foot in the air. That's not an exaggeration. I've seen some F-250s that look like tractor trailers this weekend. You know, I was standing there in the front cab of that, came around the corner for at least 30 seconds. And then when it went by, it said F-250. I was like, is there such a thing as an F-250 this big? But here's the big news. Now, hold the phone. Here's the big, big killer. They don't know what good cookers are. They've all got a barrel, a roll barrel, a barrel, some metal that's kind of halfway sawed and wired together. That are their cookers. Now, of course, Johnny Trigg and Butcher Barbecue, Lotta Bull Barbecue. Now, they got one team out there called Mad Max. They all rolled in there, and they all took it to them hard, and they won. You know, they Johnny Trigg won the grand champion. Congratulations, Johnny.
Get a big hell yeah from the redneck girls like me. Hell yeah!
So, folks, it is a wide open market for cookers. I'm going to call that fellow back. I talked too long. I just wanted to get that across, is that New Mexico is a wide open market for backwoods smokers.
Jamie.
Hey, bud, who's this?
I'll call you back.
At the tone, please record your message. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options. To leave a callback number, press 5.
Oh. Anyway, it's a big market for Deep South smokers. It's a big market for smokers. Anybody who needs a smoker, let's see if I can get him to pick up this time.
This is Jamie. leave a message. I'll call you back.
At the tone, please record your message. When you...
Well, I guess I didn't get through. But anyway, so I hate that Randall Bowman logged out. But anyway, we need to sponsor a few teams. You know, not maybe three, you know, three backwoods smokers and one deep south smoker. We need to sponsor a few teams out there so all these other teams can look around and see these real nice smokers, how easy they work and how professionally they handle, and a wide open market, folks. I mean, we ought to be able to really cash in, cash out, cash it up. And but it's not just the money thing. We could pull them in to get a lot of events going for barbecue. I mean, we could open a whole nother market. Now, the thing about New Mexico, it's a lot different than you think. They've got good logistics. They've got good water. Now, you know, I heard one time that a lot of our milk comes from New Mexico. And, you know, like around here, Pet came in and bought everybody's farm. So Pet Milk, like, became the big milk guy and was, like, making these generic names in all the grocery stores. And then all that changed, and it became Farm Fresh. And I'm almost guessing now a lot of that milk is coming from New Mexico. And they got these huge sprinkler systems, folks. You know, it's a mile-long irrigation thing that's above ground. It's got wheels on it, and it goes in a circle. You know, flying over on the airplane, you look down, you got this circle. It's about 2.5 miles long. And you go around in a circle, and it's the tallest, greenest, prettiest alfalfa I've ever seen. I've got it on video. I'll be putting up a lot more about that. Now, they have about 5 months of the year where it gets way over 100 degrees, you know, way over as in 104, 107, 110. We were out there. It was 104 on Friday, 110 on Saturday. And you know, they say, oh, it's dry heat, it's dry heat. Well, I will agree with this. There was that huge tent that everybody ate under, and they had this, you know, that kind of cooler thing with a big old fan. And it was fairly cool under there. If you can stay out of the sun, I think you can stay cool. But in the sun, now when I did the results, I had to stand in direct sunlight, and boy, I got blistered. I was a red lobster down, boy. Man, and that sun was just beaming down on me. The other thing is, the sun is bright. Woo, is it bright. That sun is coming on down. And we want to get our main man on the radio show if we can again. Let me try one more time, see if he'll answer the phone. Now, when I got off the plane, we got a rental car, and I was heading out to where the competition was, and there was these huge tree orchards. It was probably 1,000 trees down across the orchard, and it turns out they were pistachio trees. And I was really surprised that pistachios grow on trees. You know, I thought that I thought they grew like a peanut. They look like a peanut. I didn't know they grew, but the trees were probably 25 or 30 feet high, and I guess they got an irrigation system on them. I don't believe them, you know, trees would be able to grow if you just planted them and let them go. But I got couple pictures. I put them on Facebook of the pistachio trees. And but that was where the competition was. It was a fairground, and it was nothing but dust and rocks. I mean, it was rough. It was nothing but a dust bowl and just, you know, and the other thing that was surprising, the wind got up fairly strong. So everybody who had a 10 by 10, they had to have it nailed down, you know, with a 50-pound weight on each leg. Because when them gusts came across, they were probably 20, 30 mile an hour gusts, and every afternoon they had them. And then at night, it got down cold, had to wear a jacket. It was really cold out there. Probably got down to like 45, 50, which, you know, it's 107 degrees during the day. 45, 50 feels like it's pretty cold. But, you know, the big thing is I just really believe that the backwoods smokers could do a real big insertion into the New Mexico barbecue competition. Because the big deal was they got me on the radio a couple times. The whole town, the whole area just got with it. I was on the radio Friday and Saturday, and I told them that, you know, barbecue competition is a big national sport that's growing now. I mean, this thing is taking off. It's the next NASCAR. And I asked the people to come and eat, but stay to 4 o'clock to watch the results. Don't just leave. You know, stay and watch and see who won what, who got what awards, you know, what the final was. So I'm standing out there filming, and I looked around, and the place was packed out in a U. Now, it was funny. They all found shade. Nobody stood out in the sun. There was some 30-foot-tall balloon things that are blowed up all the way to the top, and they had shade that kind of fell down in behind it, and people stood exactly in the shade behind the blow-ups. And then people was under a beer tent, which was almost as big as the eating tent, and then the eating tent was completely full, standing room only. And then the other, there was two 30-foot balloons, and right where the edge of the shadow went, that's where the people were. And I had to stand out in the sun to get the right shot. So lo and behold, who was the only person standing in the sun? Well, yeah, probably yours truly. That's right. I was standing out there, and I was getting blistered. And I've had two callers, and I've missed both of them. But anyway, smoking on the pesos and Artesia, New Mexico, was one heck of an event. And we want to see if we can get Johnny Riley on the phone. Real exciting singer, great guy. He really did a concert. He played for 2 hours, and I couldn't believe the voice he had. I mean, he had a fantastic voice. And It just made the whole event exciting. We really enjoyed it.
Hello.
Hey, Johnny, what's up, bud?
Oh, not much. It's Daryl.
Yeah, I'm talking to you up on the radio. We want to get you on the phone a little bit. Let's talk a little bit.
I'll sure talk a little bit. The rain was really bad while it goes. We're on the road right now riding.
Oh, are you headed back to Houston?
Yeah, we're not heading to Houston. We're heading down to Killeen right now, and then down to Troy, and then from there down to Crockett, Texas, and on the way home. So,
wow. Well, Johnny, I taped your whole thing the other night, and I just want to give you a compliment on the air. I just want to let you know, buddy, you can really sing, man. Where'd you get that place from? How'd you learn to sing that good?
Oh, man, I don't know. I've been singing since I was a kid. I heard my dad sing in church, and then my mama sang blues, and actually she didn't sing blues, but she played blues records and stuff like that. I just kind of picked it up along the way. That's what I liked about it. So
now that's one thing I kind of wanted you to talk about a little bit. You got a big time country, a big time western, and a big time blues thing going on, and The party got hot. I don't know if you noticed, but the people that were left at the event, they all started kind of walking toward the stage by the time he got playing good. And I waited till the second song to see how good it was. And, man, I got the camera out, started walking up because I wanted to make a video out of these things. And but how did you get all your influences, I mean, kind of to pull together? Hey, you still there? Oh, I lost them again. Well, they're riding down the road, but anyway. Now, I got a video on the front of my Facebook. I've got a video on the front of my website already. It's an 8-minute video. It was a Stevie Ray Vaughan song and another song at the end. And I'm telling you what, folks, this guy just blew it out the box. Now, if you go on my website under Barbecue Entertainment, which is under Super Info, let me look it up right quick. I went ahead and made Johnny Riley a page, and I got a link to his website. And I want to challenge everybody to go to that page, hit that link, and go on over to Johnny Riley's website and buy his album. He's got a new album out. He sang his headliner song, which I've got. I've got on my website, and he gave me a free copy of it. And shoot, I could see him being number one on the charts. You know, now he had a bass player that's a friend of his, and he sang too, and he sang almost as good as Johnny did. And then they got a organist that came straight out of Motown, and them guys were really blowing it big. I mean, he was doing a big time job out there. Man, I tell you what, I really want to try to establish the Backwoods Smoker New Mexico connection, and I think we could sell a lot of Backwoods Smokers out there. It's a wide open market. I mean, they got a bunch of offsets that are homemade, and they have a hard time maintaining the temperature. Of course, you know, if it's already 140 degrees, because, you know, that heat gets real hot under the sun, you don't really have to raise it a whole lot more to get the cooking temperature to do your butts and your briskets and all this stuff. You know, it's almost like an instant grill. Another thing they did that was kind of surprising on the grill grates, now here's an idea for some of you out there. They use street grates. You know, like you got them little grates that, you know, most people use now, which is like a little spiral thing or something and all that junk. They got the big, heavy, it's almost like an inch space square grill grate, and it's an inch thick. And I don't know why everybody was using those grill grates. Maybe they're more available. But just about every cooker had those form of grates in them. And a lot of direct fire grills. 90% of them had direct fire in them. And a lot of those Mexican teams were using fire in them. So, you'd see the flame come up over the meat, you know, doing all that stuff. So it was awesome. Man, I tell you, I'm really excited about New Mexico. I think it's better to go to New Mexico in November, December, January, or February. You know, if we could get those 4 months, let's say, November 1st, October's probably hot, maybe October 15th to February 28th. That's 6 months, and have contests every week. That'd be 24 contests right there. You could have two on a week, you know, that'd be 48. Or, you know, somewhere in that range, 35, 40 contests, something like that, in that six-month period, and then just take the summer off. You know, that means the one in Artesia is going to have to be moved or whatever. But Backwoods Smokers, Backwoods Smokers, I really want to try to get them connected out there in New Mexico. And we appreciate all y'all out there tonight. Now, we're going to talk about our members now just for a few minutes. We've got a lot of great members, members of Barbecue Superstars. And first one I'm going to start off with, of course, is my main man, Danny Kugel. Danny Kugel has come out with an online barbecue school, friends. They're going like hotcakes. I think people have finally realized and plugged in. And there's a whole bunch of people that are starting to buy his schools. Don't be ashamed. Come on down. Buy his school. His process is top-notch, 100% great. You know, we were talking the other day, and I didn't realize he's number 18th in the KCBS, but hold the phone, that's based on 10 contests. So he's got 2,100 and some points. He's only done 8. So he's almost averaging 300 points a contest. He's got 2 more to go in order to get a full score up there. So if he averages 300, gets 2 more 300, it's going to be in the top 2 or 3. And I didn't realize all that. Now, you know, KCBS scoring, I've just now kind of delved into it and started trying to figure it out. KCBS scoring is based on a 250-point system for each contest. And then they have bonus points for when a team for the number of teams that come to the contest. So, you know, if you go and win a grand, you get 250 points, and there's 80 teams there, you get the 80 bonus points, and, man, that's 330 points. So, you know, if you look at the number one team in the KCBS, that's 10 contests, and they had 2,600 points last time I checked. Now, as you do more contests in the KCBS, your worst score is dropped, and, you know, the better score is put in. So you're always upgrading your 10 contest scores. So Oh, no, some of the points thing is what I'm trying to figure out. Boy, Butcher Barbecue took Reserve Grand Champion smoking at the Pecos, and there he's got a Sam's Club where okay, let's see now. Point system. Every team in a contest will receive points, even the last place team. Additionally, every team participating in a contest will be awarded bonus points based on the number of teams at the event, up to a maximum of 50. Okay, so if there's more than 50 teams, you won't get more than 50 points. There are no double or triple points, only the bonus points based on the number of teams competing at each event. While teams will still be rewarded for doing well in large contests, this system helps to bridge the gap between the smaller and larger events, rewarding teams for their consistency on the competition circuit regardless of event size. The following is a breakdown of points awarded at each event. Take, for example, a third-place overall finisher at a 47-team event. The team will receive 200 points plus 47 bonus points based on the number of teams competing for a total of 247. So the first place gets 250, second 225, third 200, fourth 175, fifth 150, sixth 140, seventh 130 points, eighth 120, ninth 110, tenth 100 points. You know, it's really not that bad to take first place, second, or third. Now, if you score in the top three and then you got a 50 team contest, I mean, you're going to walk away with 250 plus points at every contest. So although it's good to win grands, because you win seven grands, you get into Jack Daniels. As far as the team of the year, if you take third every time and stay within a 50 or close team event every time, I mean, you're going to climb way up into KCBS points. And, boy, you know, KCBS has got a wonderful way of scoring for the team of the year. And my hat's off to KCBS. I'm sold on them now. And I think they are, you know, the championship league of barbecue sanctioned body. And I think everybody ought to get a membership and compete, you know. But then again, I do think every state ought to have their own sanctioned body. And that way they can do their type of cuisine for their state, because KCBS is, of course, standardized and everything's equal. You know, everything across the country is pretty well equal. And that's what makes a championship league. But Danny Kugel has got the process to put you on top of your game in the KCBS. And KCBS is where the money's at. I mean, folks, we may as well face it. None of these sanctioned bodies can bring the kind of money in to competitive barbecue like the KCBS sanctioned body can. And Danny Kugel is basically becoming an expert at KCBS competition. And you can plug into that by going to my website, looking down, and it says Pit Bulls Up and Smoke Online Barbecue School. Hit the bull and go on over to the school. Get to school and get on the road to winning yourself some KCBS championships and making you somebody. Johnny Trigg won over $600,000. I can live with that. A lot of people have a hard time making that in a lifetime. You know, if you're just a regular worker, like most of us are. Now, I want to say a few words about Killer Bees, Jim Berg. Now, Jim Berg is a fantastic barbecue team out of Aiken, South Carolina. Jim Berg has got firewood. If you need firewood, make sure you get a hold of Jim Berg, and all you got to do is go to the Barbecue Superstars website and look under firewood or woods, and Killer Bees will be up under there, and there's his email address, and you can get that and buy yourself, buy the palletized pallet, oak, hickory, all that stuff. So go ahead and get you some firewood from Jim Berg and save yourself some money, and it's some good quality stuff. And you know the process. You use oak and then change over to pecan, apple, or something else, so it's a little smoother, less digging flavor. But now I've been trying to decide on whether it's white oak or red oak. And I was out there at the competition, and there's a lot of Southwestern restaurants that will only use red oak. Red oak is the choice of the Southwest over white oak. Now, it's a restaurant in Georgia. I won't say their name, but white oak is their choice. So that's about what's going on with that. And all right, now we've got Gary Lent. Gary Lent is a fantastic barbecue team, Holy Smokes Barbecue out of Dublin, Georgia. And he'd be a good person to sponsor. If you need a team sponsor, he's going to win a lot of contests. Gary Lenton is a real efficient cook. He not only cooks barbecue, he can cook anything. He'd be a good choice to cater your event if he's got time. And good choice to represent your company. I think he's already got three sponsors, but I'm sure he could use a money sponsor. It wouldn't hurt for a big company to come in and you know, give him $500 a week. Give him $300 a week. To help pay for that gas, but he'll go out and hang a banner up. And the thing about Holy Smokes is he's won a lot, and he gets noticed when he pulls in. Then Get a Grip Barbecue out of Florida, we want to give a big shout-out to him. Nice guy. He does a lot of catering. Get a Grip, GETTAGRIP Barbecue. You can find him on Facebook. Give him a shout-out. Book your next event or get your products and go down there and sponsor him. That's another market down in Florida. The Roland Grill, private chef in seafood. Eric is a big-time competitor. He competes in Sam's, KCBS, GBA, FBA, he does them all. And all right, bud, all you got to do is call back. Number's 347-202-0263. My man Johnny is riding down the road, and I'm going to go ahead and call him back right quick so we can get it back on the line, talk about his band and everything. You know, it's really a pleasure to watch experienced, great musicians that can come in. Hey, buddy, I got you back. I forget what we was talking about before, but just tell
you were telling me I could sing, and then we got cut off.
Tell us a little bit about the history of your band. You've got some really seasoned professionals on your band there.
Seasoned professionals. I tell you, I met Kevin Berglund. I met Kevin Berglund. He come and had a contact and got me in touch with him. And Kevin, not only is a pro drummer, but he teaches drums. And they called me and said, man, this guy, if you can get him to play, he's great. And I'm like, okay. And so I basically talked to him, and he came out and played. Well, through that, after he played, I talked with, he said, man, I've got this guy named Randy Hood. If you ever need a really good bass player, we've been playing for like 10 years together. And I'm like, no kidding. And he's like, yeah. I'm trying to get this thing to work. I'm sitting here. I'm getting gas now as we speak. And basically, we got together, and we played one time together, and it just clicked, man. It clicked right then. There was no hesitation. They just fell right in the pocket, and those guys have been playing together for about 10 years. Also, Eric Ritchie, the one that played for Motown, he's a really good seasoned player, and I met him. And we just got together, man, and it just kind of, it's kind of like one of those things that happens once every 1,000 years, but it just kind of fell into place. But I am glad you enjoyed my music. I was, they even told me you filmed it, and I thought you were taking pictures, but I wasn't sure. And so the guys were wanting a copy of the video. So.
Man, I tell you, I got your whole 2-hour concert, and I'm going to put them all up to promote you. And folks, I tell you what now. Now, every event organizer out there in the country, you know, I have been to a lot of barbecue contests where the music ran people off. It didn't keep them at the event. I mean, we went down to Georgia, to the south part of Georgia. I'm not going to say the contest, but the music was so bad that, you know, you almost couldn't stand to be there. Then I wish they'd have let me try to play guitar, because I might have been able to at least get something together that was fit to listen to. And this guy here can headline your event, and I'm talking about when he gets that guitar started, the people will turn and start walking toward the stage. And, you know, I just got to ask you, Johnny, for all our listeners out there, how does it feel when you know you're laying down some music that is that good? I mean, how does it make you feel to be on stage, man?
Dude, I'm going to tell you something. You cannot describe the feeling. If you're a musician, man, and the people, the main part is the fans are digging the music. You know, when you can connect with an audience, that's what it's all about. I know when I start connecting with them, and I played all over the country, but I played been background music before, and that's just boring. But when you get a crowd and they come up the stage and they're into what you're doing, it's like 2 hours of heaven for me. So it's just awesome. I'm so glad, and thank you so much for having me on your show, and thank you so much for filming what you did. We certainly appreciate it.
No, you're more than welcome, Johnny. And now, I don't know if you can. You got a gig next Friday?
Yes, I do.
What time does it start?
I think 7:00, maybe.
Okay, and that'll be what state will that be in?
That'll be in Texas. It starts from, I believe, from like 7 to 10 or something like that. Go ahead.
Okay, I'll reschedule the show, for 5 o'clock your time, which will be 6 o'clock mine. I think Texas is 1 hour. Is it 2 hours behind Eastern?
It may be. I'm not really sure. But you definitely, you've got my home number too, brother. Give me a call and we'll set it up, you know.
Okay. And what I'll do is I'll load up a lot of your music and we'll play your music. Now, this will be next Friday on Beer Night Out. We'll have Johnny, but we might have to change the show schedule. I'll keep you posted on what we'll have to do it so he can get to
I'm usually booked apart pretty much in advance. I got signed this year through Tommy Mauser and Vividale Records, Vividale Music, and just heard me. And I've been through several managers, and they didn't work out. And Tommy was just a godsend to me because he's getting me out there, and things are happening. And then I got to meet you, Daryl, and I was like, wow. So hopefully we'd like to get out there and play some of those barbecue places because, I mean, blues and barbecue and country kind of go together.
Well, I tell you, that's like a hell of a combination.
You can't beat it.
I mean, that's, and I tell you what else, bud, is I wish you'd have played like at 1 o'clock on Saturday for 2 hours because you'd have had people calling friends, and by the second hour, if you started at 1 or 2 o'clock, I bet there'd been 5,000 people standing in front of the stage.
Well, you know, I was just excited that people started turning around coming to the stage and wanting. Of course, they stopped middle of the show wanting autographs and all this stuff. But I'm just, man, I love the fans. I'm not one of those snooty artists. I love the fans. I'm like, the more the merrier. Let them in, man. Don't keep them away from me because, you know, I love the fans. And that's the reason, you know, I get to stay out here and do what I do. So
and that was all the about big the thing music, is, you know. People was out there buying a CD right and left, came to the stage, wanted you to sign it right up front.
Yeah, they were, man. It kind of freaked me out. I was like, wow, you know. So I thought that was kind of cool
that they did that. Johnny Riley. Now, what town is it? You're not from Houston. You're from a town outside of Houston.
So what now?
What town are you exactly from?
I'll be playing down, I think, in Lufkin, Texas on 7 o'clock. I think I'm going to be at Ralph and Cuckoo, just like a New Orleans-type thing. I'm going to do a country blues show that I do because I love the blues and I love country music. That's why I think I was so in love with Hank Williams, you know, that he just sang the blues the way he did.
What town do you live in on a regular basis?
Groveton, Texas on a regular basis.
Yeah, okay, and that's right out of Houston, right?
Yes, sir. We're here, sir.
Oh, okay.
Yes, sir. It's Friday.
Yeah.
Actually, it's 2 hours out of Houston.
Oh, it's 2 hours out of Houston?
Yes.
Okay, he's hailing from down in there, and which Texas is sort of in the center of the country, so it wouldn't matter where you booked him. He'd probably be about the same distance, but doesn't matter to you. You get that bus cranked up, you'll go anywhere if the money's right.
Yes, sir, I will. If the money's right, we do go. I'm sitting here at a convenience store. I don't even know where I'm at right now.
Well, we're going to let you go. I know you got a busy
schedule. This is awesome. I'm doing a radio interview right here in the middle of the store, man.
Well, we're excited about having you on. But, I'll call you. What would be a good day before Friday to call you where you got
man, anytime. You can call me Monday, Tuesday, any of those days, brother. I'll be there and looking forward to it. So,
all right, we'll call you on Monday, and we'll set the show up. And, folks, get ready. We're going to have Johnny Riley night on Beer Night Out on Barbecue Superstars next Friday.
Yeah, and maybe we can talk a bunch of trash, man, so it'll be
there
fun.
There you go. Hey, we might have to talk about Brittany getting out of band or something.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I guarantee you I can talk some smack. So I'm going to look up and see if we can't find those videos that you did on Barbecue Superstars.
Oh, yeah, I have them all ready, and I'll also have you line up on a radio show, and we'll play your music all night and have us a good time.
Oh, man, and I do really, Daryl, I really do. I'm not just saying this, but I really do appreciate you taking the time out just to have me on your show and to help me like you've helped me. And hopefully somebody will hear us out there and love our music and just get us farther, you know, bring us up to that level we're looking for. So,
well, there's another band out there called Soul to Earth, and I've really tried to help them. And, folks, if I go to a barbecue competition and I see a band that is really totally kick-ass and can really lay it down, I'm going to try to pick you up and help you because We need people that through barbecue got success or moved ahead. And
right.
Barbecue Superstars is, we're a promotional company, and we want to promote good people. And I tell you, it's easy to find a lot of mediocre bands because barbecue has a music side to it, and we want to promote the music side of barbecue also. And but every once in a while, I tell you, last night, man, from 8 to 10, that place was off the chain. I mean, it wasn't just good. It was great.
Oh, man, I appreciate that so much. And I'm telling you, when I go on stage, brother, I try to leave everything that I have right there. When I'm done, usually I'm so tired I can't hardly. I mean, when we finally got back to the room last night, I was just totally dead. But they said, man, are you okay? I said, they said, we thought you were going to get heaties on. I said, well, when the crowd's into it, when the crowd is into it and you get them and draw them into your world and you're playing the blues and you're playing kick-ass country, you know, it doesn't get any better than that, brother. I mean, it's just awesome. So I try to put everything I have on the stage with it, sir. I try to give the people a great show.
You did, and I tell you what, you know, it's such a great event overall, first year event. You know, big shout out to the organizers, the husband and wife couple that they just really put together a lot of great magic. And I'll tell you the one ingredient, and I actually flew back with the organizers on the same plane. We had time to sit down and talk. And I want all the KCBS organizers to hear, everybody who's organizing an event, the one thing that kept coming out of their mouth and they didn't even realize it was the hospitality was there.
Them, yes, it was.
Organizers, I mean, he come over, Johnny and the radio guy from the local radio were there, and some other fellow, and they all took a picture together. He hung out. He talked. I mean, he took time. I don't know if he had time, but he got out there with us, and he was just another one of the guys. And when we talk about the hospitality was there, free ice for everybody. No selling ice for $4 a bag. All the teams got free ice as much as they wanted. Well, when it's 107 degrees, you got to have a supply of something to keep the people under 10x10s with no trailer alive. And they're working.
Yeah, brother,
like
I'm going to tell you something. You can't get any better than Gene Dow and KC93. Those guys, him, Kevin Baggerly, Steven Sparks, went beyond the call of duty for us. We've never been treated with that much hospitality anywhere, bar none. They are one of the best places we've ever played. In fact, they're talking about maybe having David Ball in next year and us opening up. And so we've had a lot. We had a good run out there, and I think that everybody, it really shocked us. I think everybody enjoyed it, but it just kind of, the show was really, really good last night, if I do say so myself.
It really was, you know, we got on the radio guy, too. He just welcomed them, and then Lynn Anderson was walking around. She came in and got on the radio. And did you have a chance to hang around and talk with Lynn a little bit?
Yeah, I did talk to Lynn. She was pretty cool. She was approachable. When we got in that first night, they had a reception, which, you know, these guys, you know, like you were saying, are seasoned musicians. They've been around the world and probably played some really crazy places where people aren't that approachable. But she was, man. She was real approachable and real nice. And she's got one of our CDs and wanted to listen to it and everything. So, you know, it was all around really, really cool. I liked it because she was approachable. She wasn't, you know, I've opened up for some artists that are just, they believe their own headlines and their own press. And I'm just like, man, I've been a fan before, so I know how it is. So I always want to treat fans good and do what I'm supposed to do. So.
Yeah. And she gave me a 10-minute interview. I got to do some editing on it, but I'll have that up. And
yeah, you kept calling her Loretta Lynn.
Man, what in the world's the matter? But I had been up almost 24 hours. But I got to admit, I interviewed the main organizers, and I had asked her about two or three times, you know, could we do an interview? I didn't think she was going to do it. And then all of a sudden, the main organizer looked around, and he said, Loretta Lynn's going to do an interview with you. And, you know, for about a minute, I was so starstruck. For the first time in my life, I couldn't talk. I mean, I was standing there. And I'll never forget when she made that corner and came out of the tent. I looked and see, I grew up with her. She was one of our idols because my mom sang her song all the time.
Right.
Bunch of them, and we heard them on the radio. But when she made that corner and started walking toward me, you could have sold me for a $2 bill. I was like, for the first time in interviewing, I didn't know what to say. I mean, I was standing there like, this is Lynn Anderson.
Yeah, it is the Lynn Anderson. Yeah, I had the pleasure of meeting him because, see, to me, those are the actual heroes from top country music. People like Lynn Anderson, George Jones, Merle Haggard. You know, those are icons, you know. And I told her, I said, well, I said, country music has changed, has it not? And she said, oh, yeah, it's changed a whole bunch. It's not even what it was.
Yeah, I got that in the interview. She said, it's good because it's drawing a lot of young people in. But the one thing about country music throughout the years has been it meant something. It meant something to your family. It meant something to your life. You could take one of those songs and see what's going on in your life. And you know, the one big thing that our community and our country needs is we need somebody that could talk sense to us, not CNN pointing their finger down your throat and saying, hey, you're no good. But somebody who could talk about your life experience. And you know what? You can look around and say, you know what? Everybody's going through exactly what I'm going through.
Oh, yeah, man. It is life experience. And, you know, you hear somebody sing it kind of helps people kind of identify with the artist, you know, like, hey, you know, they're like us, too. They go through things. So it made it kind of personal, you know. But I love blues. I love barbecue. Love good country music. It's kind of a mixture. I don't know. It's like Charlie Daniels and Lynyrd Skynyrd and B.B. King and all rolled up, and ZZ Top all rolled up into one. And with some George Jones in it, I guess, so.
Man, I'll tell you, and badass guitar, badass bass, badass drums.
Badass bass, yes.
That old boy can play some bass, can't he?
He can play some bass, and he sings good. I told him, I said, you got a voice like butterscotch, man. He's like, butterscotch? And I'm like, yeah, you got that warm, soothing, you know. He can play. Him, Kevin, those guys are awesome, you know. And Eric Chen is great, you know. I mean, that guy just... He just added to the flavor, you know, and made everything sound good. Kind of came together, but I've never played with better musicians, and I played with a lot of guys than these guys. So, to me, they're the cream of the crop, and I'm blessed to have them. So that's the way I feel about it.
Now, his last name is Richie, and he's from Motown. Is there any chance he might be related?
Actually, he'll probably kill me for telling you this. His real name is Eric Chen, but his stage name is Eric Richie. But he used to be a Lionel Richie impersonator. And,
oh, did he?
He could do all yes, he did. He could do all Lionel stuff and everything. And as far as I know, he's not kin to Lionel Richie, but he said he's even got some pictures, but he won't show them to me. I'm like, dude, I've got to see the Lionel Richie pictures. And he goes, no, I'm not showing them to you. But I think it was in the early 90s he was doing this. And
so, you know, when I seen him, I seen a likeness there, and then you said his name was Richie. I was like, dang, I bet he's first cousins or something.
Yeah, well, I don't think he's first cousins, but he's played with some of the best out there, man. This guy is a great piano player, great keyboard. And the cool thing about him is a lot of piano players just play all over the music. Eric will sit there and listen to it and then see what it needs and then add what it needs. And he won't add more or take away, but he adds what it needs, and that's what makes it sound good. Like Randy last night sang that song, Hey Something, Que Paso. Hey, baby, que paso, and Eric put the Mexican accordion in it. So it just went with it, you know. So he adds what it needs. It doesn't put too much. So that's what I like, because everything is there. You know, the elements are there. Great drumming, great bass playing, great keyboard, you know. And to me, I got the best musicians in the world, the best band in the world, and they make me sound good, make me look good. So.
Well, I'll verify that, folks, and I'll say they were good unless they were good. And the only band I could see that could even get close and stand up to them would be Soul to Earth. These guys totally blew me, blew everybody that was there at the competition away. And big things coming ahead for the Johnny Riley band, for Johnny Riley, about 2 hours out of Houston, that fellow there. Now, you watch out for him, because we're going to put him on big Friday night. I got a full page on Barbecue Superstars. I'm going to have all his videos in one place. You take them, you put them on your website. I'm going to put them through all my search engines. All we got to get is one listen from the right record company, Well, he's already signed with one, but I'm talking about Virgin Records or some big, mega, top Sony artist. One good listen.
Yeah, I'd love to be signed with Sony. That'd be great.
Man, hell yeah. Well, our time's up. We appreciate you coming by, Johnny. We'll get back with you tomorrow, and we'll set up the show. And appreciate everybody coming by and listening to our members' live show. New Mexico, wide open market for all these fantastic barbecue companies that want to come in, sponsor teams, get their products. There's a lot more competitors in New Mexico, potentially, probably, than anywhere in the country. We got a lot to build on down there. And then, you know, the magic artists that came out and all the stuff that happened, it's all there. All we got to do is get all of our companies plugged in, people working on the ground, and we can bring New Mexico into the fall as good as Kansas, Georgia, Florida, the three.
Well, brother, when you call me tomorrow, brother, you call me on my house phone, and we'll be able to talk a little bit better than myself. Sometimes I don't get the greatest signal, so.
Okay,
I'll
text it
to you, so.
All right, yeah, text me, and I'll call you, and we'll set this thing up. We're gonna head on out, and we're gonna do B.B. King, "Don't Open the Door When I'm Not at Home."
Awesome, man. All right, brother, I'll check you later. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, bye.
All right, bye.
To visit us, tell her to meet us Sunday down at the church, 'cause I don't want a soul, baby, hanging around my house when I'm not at home. Yes, I don't want you to answer the door for nobody, baby. You know you all alone. If your mother wanna visit us,
tell her I get home about the break of day. And that's too late to visit anybody, baby. So tell her to please stay away, 'cause I don't want a soul, baby, hanging around my house when I'm not at home. Yes, I don't want you to open the door for anybody, baby. You feel a little sick, baby, and you know you're home all alone. I don't want the doctor at my house, baby. You just suffer till I get home, 'cause I don't want a soul, baby,